come up there. We have, and we still have the same problem we had last night. The bottom line won't disappear. We're going to try a different projector this evening. For those of you who weren't here last night, have you gotten used to my accent yet? Good, I'm pleased to hear that. I learned very early in my ministry career that when I swapped to countries, I couldn't do much about my accent, but I could sort of drop out very Australian phrases and very Australian words, and you sort of adapt to your grammar and things like that. I just haven't got used to saying A at the end of most sentences like many Canadians do. Okay, a little bit of revision. Christ's words, Christ's work is what we're dealing with this morning. We're going to revise what we did a bit last night, make a challenge, then give you some more pictorial information. Then we'll finish with a good solid dose of God's word about God's work, who is the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Okay, in the beginning, God created. That's the starting point. Remember last night we said you could say this in many ways. Nothing got here by itself. Everything was deliberately designed. There was nothing that happened by accident. Yet you live in a Canada where most people are not in church this morning because they think the world happened by accident. There is no God, there is no creator, there is no accountability. I mean, come on, let's be honest. If you start posting multi-gender signs on toilets, do you ever consider that there is a God who created the male and female who will one day hold you accountable? Nope. Totally out of their mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. God commanded the earth to bring forth plants, each according to its own kind. Remember last night, we dealt a little bit with science versus religion. If I can stretch that now, most people get sidetracked to think this is a debate between science and religion. Wrong. It's a debate between truth and error. The Bible is either true or it's false. It has nothing to do with whether it's scientific or religious. If you want to debate science versus religion, enroll in the University of Saskatchewan, join the philosophy department, study the philosophical aspects of science versus religion. It'll probably keep you occupied for the next 20 years. You'll get 3 PhDs. You'll never get a job, but sure interesting. This has nothing to do with science versus religion. It has everything to do with is it true or is it false that God made each creature according to its own kind. So don't be surprised the guy who invented our classification system took the word genus out of the Latin Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Surprise, surprise, it works. It does. I mean, the Greeks had tried for ages to come up with a system of labelling creatures. But Carl von Linn, otherwise known as Linnaeus, started with the word of God who was there, not the opinions of men who weren't. And it works. God made man in his image. In fact, we've got some evidence of that. Here, young man, would you come out here, young t-shirt wearer? Did you like that young? It was a little exaggerated, but that's okay. I get called young sometimes, but I'm not actually. Come and stand up here, prime display. You bought this t-shirt yesterday from Creation Research, I believe.
Right at the back. There.
Right at the back. And it says, stop following me. Yes. Actually, we took that top bit from the internet. It's been a joke for ages. The evolutionists even get bothered by monkeys and apes and orangutans and gorillas following them. But you see, we did bet further. We're not related. You know that, don't you?
I know that.
Yes. I mean, come on. When was the last time you saw an orangutan or a chimpanzee in a hairdresser's? You've never seen one?
Never.
Do you know why not?
They don't care about their hair.
They don't care about the hair. No. You see, your hair keeps growing and their hair stops. And they didn't teach you that at school, did they? Because they want to make you think we're so like them. So this t-shirt, by the way, it looks good on you, by the way. It really improves you. We're not related. Then it's got a Bible verse, God created man in his image. So from Mr. Trudeau down to you and I, to the little kids who went downstairs, every one of us has a heritage in the image of God. That's where we started. Listen, you keep wearing that. In fact, would you like to be encouraged? I had a 65 plus, I won't go any further, 65 plus year old lady come up to the book table and she said, I want one of those t-shirts. I'm not used to 65-year-old ladies buying t-shirts, are you? With signs on them? I mean, we designed these as witness t-shirts, and I said, I'm happy to sell you one, madam, but why do you want it? She said, it's time I took a stand. And it is. Because we live in a Canada where the young people think they're animals. The young people think they're gorillas and baboons. And they're not accountable to anybody. Good job. Give him a clap. He did good. Okay. Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. You know, what's interesting is, when you have a look at the evidence, let me get something out here. You might want to turn that on. Can you turn that on without turning those side lights on? Can we do that? Just this chandelier? Is that feasible? So I can hold up something and you can actually see it? Do we have it? There he is. Oh, that's good. I don't know how good your eyes are, but you see, that's a genuine mosasaur tooth. Keep in mind that it's nice and sharp. Oh, the kids have all gone, otherwise I'd get them up here to have a feel of this. And I brought up also a bigger one. Now you're talking. You see, that's a spinosaur tooth. And the interesting thing is, you and I live in a world where if you see sharp teeth, you automatically reach a conclusion. Particularly the young people, if they see this one. Now that's a tooth. All dinosaurs. And you see, this is T-Rex, the kid's favourite. By the way, have you noticed that the young people know every dinosaur name? They do. And grandma and grandpa get totally lost. But don't be surprised, it's deliberate. You mightn't realise it, but decades ago, the sceptics all around the world decided there was one good way to attack Christianity without attacking Christianity publicly. Through dinosaurs. Just teach them dinosaurs. Dinosaurs died out millions of years ago. Exit any need for Noah's flood. Dinosaurs with sharp teeth killed things. Exit Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. You did learn last night, didn't you? I mean, all creatures were vegetarian. It doesn't put an obligation on you. How can a creature with teeth like that eat oversized pumpkins? Perhaps that's what it did eat. Or haven't you thought about that? You see, when you look at your Bible, it's not just a religious history. That's what the world has cornered Christians into, thinking it's just religion, it's just philosophy. No, it's a history of diet as well. In fact, you may appreciate that the first commandment had to do with diet and what you would eat. All creatures were vegetarian. There was no death or destruction or bloodshed in all of God's holy kingdom. Oh, that pops up later as well, in the promised new heavens and new earth. And then last night, we took you from created perfection downhill. Remember last night we were talking about how you would recognize the evidence of creation? And Christians have an obligation, because the skeptics are doing their best, the evolutionists are doing their best, the anti-Christians are doing their best to make sure you think there is no evidence. This is just something you choose to believe. So how dare you criticize the homosexuals? They choose to believe this. How dare you criticize the indigenous people? They choose to believe that. How dare you try and tell them about Jesus? These are just beliefs, no evidence. Well, the Bible says man was created perfect, we were made in God's image, and then we chose to sin, and that image has been defaced. No wonder the schools are full of psychology counsellors who are doing their best to run image improvement courses. They know what the problem is. They just don't want the only solution. You see, it's not your image that's defaced. It's the image of Christ in you that was defaced by sin. God cursed the ground. Death entered the world, and the world changed from good to not so good. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but Genesis chapter 1 and 2 are the last time God ever called the world good. Did you notice that? I mean, first time I was coming to Canada, somebody said, you'll see the snow, it's so beautiful. Now, I've been to Canada many times in the past 40 years, and I've even felt snow. I played with it the first time, and my hands went blue. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Pretty awful, actually. It killed you. You see, when God made Adam and Eve, there was no snow. You should have figured that out. The climate was very good. What were they wearing? Absolutely nothing. Have you tried that in Prince Albert? Today? Going outside with nothing on? Man alive. You see, we got to that point last night and we gave you a science lesson. In fact, that lesson is one of the lessons that grew out of the debate we did at the university here, against four of the professors from the University of Saskatchewan, which you can still see free online. And it's been a wonderful blessing all around the globe in schools, and its essence is that there are many theories and opinions that contradict everything in the Bible, but the facts never do. As a Christian, you have an obligation to know what the answer is when people ask you concerning Christianity. Jesus Christ did live. He did die. He did rise from the dead. And here's why he came. In the beginning, God made everything. It's his planet. And who is this God? No, it's not Allah. No, it's not Vishnu. This God is none other than Jehovah Jireh, who became flesh and was given the name Jesus. And all things were made by him. Let's test you. What do you actually believe about Scripture? Hey, Baptist Church, this is a good question, don't you think? Have you swallowed your blood pressure pills? Your heart tablets are under control? You're not going to die on me if I shock you? Come to my garden in Australia. You will love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul and your mind. Didn't we mention that last night? Now we're moving on to the next level. Isn't that pretty? That's a flower in my front garden. It's actually a flowering tree. We have lots of them in Australia. Look, it's way up high. Let's come down the trunk. Nice green colour. Have you ever wondered how God does so many greens? There's thousands of shades of green. They're just so pretty. And look, by the time you get to the bottom, do you notice something happening? Look at that. Hey, my grandsons and I were playing cricket one day, and my middle-aged grandson, he just hit the ball a long way and ran and ran and ran and got so tired he forgot and he leaned against this tree. I tell you what, the words that came out of his mouth were not, "Hey, Grandpa, this is very good." He didn't say that. By the way, he did get the point. That is the point, by the way. You see, the Bible says God cursed the ground and it would bring forth thorns and thistles. And it was done for our sake. That's why I love the way the King James puts that. He did it for our sake. And the whole purpose is that we would not get content here forever. Yeah. He didn't just do it to be nasty. He didn't do it just to get his... They're going to do that. I'm going to... Okay. I found that fossil in Canada in 2007. What is it? You see, you look at the pretty flowers and you see the flower and you say, "Isn't that beautiful?" And you look at the stem and you see the thorns and we don't even connect the dots back to Genesis. God created in the beginning and that kapok tree only produces kapok trees with beautiful flowers. But now it's got thorns. What is this fossil? There's where I found it. There's a layer of coal over there in Nova Scotia. And underneath that coal that year, there'd been a big landslide. And in the landslide, I found these. I went back in September 2009. You're wondering what it is? You know, don't think you have to go to university to identify fossils. God made things to produce their own kind. So therefore, if it's actually survived to the present, you should be able to fairly quickly come up with an answer as to what it is. I went up to the top of the cliff. There was a living plant, the one on the left. See the shadow? See the fossil plant? It's definitely a fossil plant. Most people have no trouble with it. It's some kind of fossil thorn or prickle, agreed? Now, the difference, of course, is you say the rose has got thorns, but the botanist says a rose has got prickles. You want to fight him about it, go right ahead. But these are biblical thorns, because when you fall on them, you can't miss the point. But do you? Most of us do. You see, it comes in a second question. You will love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the world is designed. I mean, Paul said, from the beginning, the invisible things of God have been clearly seen in his creation. He stamped his power and his nature on the creation, and you can see it. But there's a rock. It's a rock with fossil thorns. And in your school textbooks, on your public television, they tell you this rock is round about 300 million years old. Now, that's older than Pastor and I put together. Yeah, it is. Okay. Now, you're a Christian. You claim to believe the Bible. Now, I'll be honest, I go to many theological colleges and they would swear that they believe the Bible. But when you ask them about Genesis, they think it's a parable or they think it's poetry. And then they try to get along in the New Testament by saying, well, Jesus is real, but we don't need to argue about the details in Genesis. It's just a picture. It's not real history. Okay, here's the clash. You go to school, you learn that rock is 300 million years old, and all of a sudden you struggle with not only the history in Genesis, you struggle with the other end as well. I was really pleased to see an end times prophecy type publication there, because I've noticed one thing. The churches that struggle with Genesis struggle with Revelation. The dots go from A right through to Z. You can't skip one and hope to make sense of the others. Because you see, here's what it says in Genesis 3. Then God said to Adam, because you've heeded the voice of your wife. By the way, Pastor, there's 3 weeks of sermons in those two lines alone, if you're brave enough. Because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you will not eat of it, the ground is cursed for your sake. In toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. Do you remember what happened next? Very important that you do, because God said the ground will bring forth thorns and thistles. God made a world that was very good. Question, how much weed killer did Adam use in the garden? Would you have invested in shares in DuPont weed killing manufacture? No, there was no weeds. How about gloves? When he was doing the gardening, and by the way, young people particularly, he was given work before sin came onto the planet. He had a job to do. He tended the garden. He kept it in good shape for God who'd given the instruction. How many gloves did he need? How many sandals did he need to stop the prickles getting into his feet? Answer, none. The world was very good. But now sin has come in. Thorns and thistles, the ground will bring forth for you. Are you thinking? Because you see, I used to lecture in geology. I presented papers at geological conferences. And when I get to where the rubber meets the road, you find a real clash with geology, biology, climatology. And it's to do with who is your authority? What do you think of God's word? Because if you believe Genesis 3, that rock formed after Adam sinned. That rock isn't 300 million years old. It never has been. You see, there were no thorns on the planet till after Adam sinned. I know Christians who say, well, we believe God made the world, but he made it billions of years ago. No, that rock there wasn't here until after Adam sinned. Wow. Now, how popular do you think I am in geological conferences if I say that? Now, I've been banned from the Geological Association because the connection is too obvious. You see, the geologists don't care how old this rock is. They don't. I mean, that's where I found it. Carboniferous, oh, that's the name it was given by a reverend gentleman in England who lived just outside of Durham. And the interesting thing is, Carboniferous has nothing to do with millions of years. It simply means it's full of carbon. That's why Jesus said, you'll be judged by the words out of your own mouth. It's full of carbon, and it is. Coal is black carbon. Very accurate description. And underneath it were the thorns. But in your textbooks, it says Carboniferous 300 million years ago, Nelly. And Christians fall for it. After all, that's science. You know, I have a big theological college in Australia that really has become the enemy of creation research. Why? Because they think the scientist knows what he's talking about when it comes to the age of the universe and the age of the planet. And I irritate the daylights out of them by saying, stop, that rock there can't be 300 million years old. It's got thorns in. Or don't you theologians who swear you believe in the Reformed stance on the Bible, you actually don't. You say you do. You know, Jesus had a lot of leaders in Israel who would have sworn on a stack of Torahs that they believed every word of Moses. And then Jesus said, no, you don't. Because if you believed him, you'd believe me. For he wrote about me. And you don't believe me, so stop fooling yourselves. Oh, here we are, Canada. Isn't it amazing how Canada's got wonderful evidence? And Canada's got great evidence to convince you and convict you the Word of God is true. There's the geologic column, as it's so-called, trilobite fossils. As we go up, thorn fossils. As we go up, dinosaur fossils. I know, come with me, I'll take you there and show you if you like. Are you thinking yet? Because you see, the thorn fossils were found under the dinosaur layer. If the dinosaur strata are found above the thorn layer, are you willing to go the next step? Do you realise most of us as Christians aren't? We are. I mean, you will love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul and your mind. So why is money your top priority? Because it is for many Christians. You want to make sure, well, I have at least one television in the house. You know, one of my friends ran Team Mission for many years in the Philippines, and he used to love interviewing Americans. Not Canadians, Americans. Because they would arrive with hair dryers and TVs and all coffee makers. And his first question was, what do you think you're going to plug it into? They never thought of that. Hey, question, what are you thinking about? Because you see, you'll be judged by every word out of your own mouth. What do you teach your kids about the rocks and about the dinosaurs? Because all things were made by Jesus. It's true. I mean, in our second half today, we're going to be emphasizing that because our first half is to underscore how important it is you believe the Bible is real history. If dinosaur layers are found above the thorn layers, dinosaurs didn't get to the rocks till after Adam sinned. Now, how popular do you think John Mackay is at the moment? I made a point before, I better justify it. You see, in the textbook, that rock is supposed to be some 300 million years old. I made another comment. I said the geologists don't care how old these rocks are. They only care how old these rocks aren't. In case you haven't got it, I'll say it again. The geologists don't care how old these rocks are. They only care how old they aren't. The one thing they don't want them to be is younger than Adam. They don't. They don't mind if they're 100 million or 50 million or 60 million or 500,000. As long as they're not younger than 10 or 6,000 years. Oh, if you don't believe me, go and have a look at the San Diego fabulous museum down there. And in the fossil section, they've got a label. Fossils must be older than 10,000 years. That's the definition. Or didn't they tell you that at school? No. You just think the scientists have proved they're old. No, starting point, they've got to be older than anything that can justify the Bible being true. That's how dirty this game is. Yeah, that's why they get so mad at me for actually pointing out an inconsistency. Why is this important? There. Who is that? It's a portrayal of Jesus Christ, correct? What's he got on his head? The answer is thorns. Have you noticed that? Because it wasn't just that somebody who was a Roman felt nasty and mean, they'd got out of bed the wrong side, so they stuffed it on his head and we'll make him bleed. No. You see, Jesus was slain from before the foundation of the world. Jesus knew, as the Creator God who became man, he knew what would happen when man sinned. He knew the judgment would be thorns and thistles. And he knew with the coming of death, with the coming of sin, there would be death. What's the book of Hebrews said? I was glad that you're learning verse 7 and 8 there. They're a great couple of verses out of chapter 13, and we'll come back to those. He knew without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sin. And you've never tied that together? Let's help you. The wages of sin is death. Okay. The wages of sin is death. Eye for eye, tooth for, life for life, blood for blood. Do you realize if you sin, you lose your life? And if you lose your life, there's another passage. The life is in the blood. If you lose your life, you need new blood. Actually, aren't we tying Hebrews with what's in the Old Testament? And what's in the Old Testament begins in Genesis, where there's no shedding of blood, no thorns, no thistles, until sin comes in. That's why he had thorns on the top of his head. Now, I changed the order of the program, so we're dealing with, can a Christian believe in evolution this morning, and the age of the planet and Noah's flood tonight? Because, you see, you need to understand that these were literal thorns in Genesis, just as literal as the ones he had on his head, and he literally died because sin is literal, and sin literally brings the penalty of literal death, and he had to literally die, and his blood had to literally be shed. Get rid of the first half. The second half floats away into Mr. Trudeau saying, this is just what you Christians believe. So we can have any rules we like about gender. Don't you dare oppose us. And if we do, we'll have all sorts of legislation about discrimination and we'll get you. And you've got nothing to stand on unless this is real history. Oh, do you know what else is exciting? There's some Canadian evidence. I was over in Nova Scotia. And I saw those, and I photographed them, and we now have copies of baby dinosaur fossil footprints here in Canada. Hey, haven't you been told by the skeptics, I couldn't believe creation? I mean, after all, if Adam and Eve were only two people, what? How could we all get here? Some of us are black, some of us are white, some of us indigenous, some of us Asian. How could that be true? You need to know the answers to those questions. And you go a bit further and they say, how could Noah fit four-story-high brachiosauruses on three-story-high boats? Well, the answer is, you see, baby dinosaurs you could hold in your hand. Or haven't you got enough confidence to realise that when God told you Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3, it's because it actually happened? And when he commanded Noah to build a literal boat, he knew exactly what he was doing. Haven't you stopped to think, God told Noah to build the boat, and God said, I will send the animals. If God knew how big to build the boat, do you think he knew how small to send the animals? Come on. Oh, you haven't thought about it, have you? You see, in reality, you've grown up, I grew up on the little golden storybooks with Noah and the ark and the giraffe with its neck out the chimney. Yes? And two adult elephants and two adult lions are coming, and there were no dinosaurs at all. And the skeptic has got you straight away, because we've already divided history into a time when the dinosaurs were, and it's not in the Bible. You teach the kids that, and they will give up Christianity, because the Bible is not the real history of the planet if the golden storybook is. Hey, Noah, build a boat this big, and I'll send the animals small enough so they'll all fit. You'll be able to fit two dinosaurs in each pocket. It's true. By the way, we bought copies of those here this morning. They're a great little witnessing tool, particularly the kids who love dinosaurs. And they do love dinosaurs, don't they? And the skeptics will take every opportunity they can to demolish Christianity with dinosaurs. It's time for you to fight back. This is Canadian evidence. Baby dinosaurs had feet no bigger than your thumbnail. That's why we encourage you to remember that. It's not the evidence which contradicts the Word of God, it's the opinions of men. And you need to know what the Word of God says. Study to show yourself approved under God, a workman who can divide truth from error, particularly theological truth. Because there's some garbage coming out there, just as there was when Jesus had to put up with the Pharisees. Yeah, and the Sadducees. That's what it's like in most theological circles. Well, you want more on the dinosaurs, I'd encourage you, have a look at the three-part program up there. We did it for television. It's done for the whole family. If you enjoyed some of the pictures you've seen this morning and tonight, then you'll find those on that, including the fossil fauns that we found here in Canada and many more. Okay, I'm going to actually switch this on to black, and I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles out. I love it in a church that brings its Bibles. You know, there are many churches that don't bring Bibles anymore. And I have to have it all up there. And most of them don't even have it up there. I'd encourage you to make sure you have your Bible. I don't have any problem if you get it on a phone. I only have a problem if you're on the phone and you're in the back two rows and you're about 17, and then I suspect you're not actually reading the Bible. You're texting somebody. Life is like that, aren't we? Okay, go to Genesis chapter 1. Have a look at verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And while you've got your finger there, flip over to John chapter 1. Now, it doesn't take too many brains to figure out there's a connection here. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. Five words, right? By the time you get to John's Gospel, come on, this is a passage you should learn off by heart. In the beginning was the, and the Word was with, and the Word was. Okay, go down to verse 3. Have a look at it. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Now skip down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then if you want to later on, you can go to John chapter 2, where it talks about Jesus at the wedding at Cana and the first miracle he ever did. Okay, quick summary. In the beginning, God created. Five words in English. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, all things, blah, 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 blah. And by the time you get to the end of verse 3, you've got to the fifth word. Yeah. John's Gospel tells you in three whole passages what the first five words of Genesis tell you. I'm pointing this out because, you know, when I first became a Christian, I was asked to give a message. Because of my background in geology and that, I sort of got a bit of a reputation as someone who knew there was no evidence for evolution, and I was asked to a Baptist church. And so I went to a Baptist church, and I gave a message on all things were made by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And I mentioned Revelation chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thou art the Creator. Oh, by the way, Revelation starts, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hey. And when I'd finished, one of the chief deacons came and he said, young man, you taught us that Jesus Christ is the Creator. That's wrong. God is the Creator. Jesus is the Savior. That's what many Christians think. It's not true. You see, unless your Jesus is God, you have neither a Creator nor a Savior. Think carefully. In the beginning, God created. Have you ever noticed that the word God is not a name? The word God is a position. That's why the psalmist writes later on, O Lord, you are our God. Aren't there people who have money as their God? Aren't there people who have fame as their God? God's an old Sanskrit word that got into English, and it just means what's at the top. Person or thing. Position. In the beginning, God. Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God. Lord, Jehovah, if you like your old Hebrew. Yahweh, if you like your newer version. And it's Yahweh, Jehovah, who actually took on flesh and became, well, what was his name when he was on the planet? The angel said, you'll call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. He didn't need that name until he came to earth. It was all preparation for saving his people from their sins. So you'd better call him that name. And it was a clue too to the Jewish people, because Joshua had led them from physical bondage into physical salvation. You know when they went from Egypt to Israel? And Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, would lead them from spiritual bondage to spiritual promised land. Hey, the clues were all there if you wanted to go looking. And you live in a world in which many Christians say, oh, God used evolution. No, he didn't. He gave us a world in which there were no thorns. They hadn't evolved. Oh, I say that because what's the theory? I sat in a lecture at Queensland University where the professor said, now, here's what happened to produce thorns. Seaweed somehow turned into roses, and the roses grew thorns to protect themselves from camels and sheep. trouble with that explanation is, you see, I used to keep sheep. And the one thing I know is that thorns are no use to roses to protect them from sheep. I mean, I've watched my sheep get his tongue in there and just pull all the rose petals out. And sheep are supposed to eat grass, but man, they love roses a whole lot better. Yeah. It never protected my roses from sheep or from camels. They've got even longer tongues that get in all the thorns. It's amazing. God put the thorns here for our sake. You have noticed, by the way, when the police tell you how to protect your house, it mightn't work so much here, but out in our country where it's summer all year, basically, and the plants grow well all year, they recommend not only sort of burglar alarms, but they recommend you plant roses under the windowsills, because thieves don't like roses. Because if you slip, you fall on the rose bush. You know, when I've listened to this advice from the police, the one thing I do know is the roses under the windows are not there to keep the camels out. No, camels didn't take notice of that. A real history. And you believe God used evolution? You are calling him a liar. Because he made real roses and he made real thorns, and the evolutionist who says seaweed over millions of years turned into roses. If you claim your God did that, you are calling your God a fraud. You are calling your God a liar. I had to debate one evolutionist once, and he didn't like it when I said, listen, aren't you the theologian who wrote God used millions of years of evolution? Oh, yes, that's me. I said, well, on Judgment Day, how are you going to explain this to God? So what do you mean? I said, do you realize God's read everything you've written? Yes. I said, well, you're going to get to heaven, and he'll say, aren't you the theologian who said, I use millions of years of evolution? Yes. Aren't you the theologian who said, I wrote 6 days of creation, and you said it's just a picture of evolution? Yes. I only got one question. Why did you call me a liar? Because I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And Jesus said, if it was not so, I would have told you. It's true. And he told us. He made the world in just 6 days. He made the world very good. He only sent thorns after sin. And he came wearing thorns on his head. And the whole of Christianity is really not only about creation, it's also about the history of thorns and why they were on Jesus' head. And the fact that when you get to the new heavens and the new earth, it says there'll be no more curse. Hey, you won't need to invest in weed killer. You won't need to wear leather gloves anymore, because there'll be no more thorns. Do you realize that's Genesis to Revelation? Join the dots, folks. If your God did anything different, then it's not the God in the Bible. It's not the Jesus Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, one last thought for you. Bring your friends and your enemies tonight as we deal with the age of the earth and Noah's flood, because thorns will play a little bit in that too. You see, you learned a verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to know why a Christian must not repeat, not just shouldn't, but must not believe in evolution, then here it is, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What's the book of Hebrews about? Go back to the beginning. God, who in many ways and many different times has spoken to our fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, through whom he made all things. There it is again. Why would the writer of Hebrews say this? Simple. You see, the people that letter was written to are Jewish converts, and they're getting a bit worried. Persecution is coming, particularly hip pocket persecution. You know the background of Hebrews, don't you? You see, the Romans had just twigged that the Christians were not a Jewish sect. And if you were a Jewish sect, you got tax exemption. Jews do real good deals on finance. They still do, don't they? But you probably didn't know your history. And they knew that if they were declassified as a Jewish sect, they wouldn't have a number they could trade with. They wouldn't be able to save money and cut corners with the Romans. They would have to pay full deal and they wouldn't get a guaranteed job. Jews don't like that. Ah, that's the context of Hebrews. You've been trusting Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He is the creator. Important you know that. He is the creator. What's the creator like? Romans 1:20. From the beginning of the creation, the invisible attributes of God have been stamped clearly on the creation. And you can see it, and you know it, and you and I, David Suzuki, Canadian Broadcasting Company, your Prime Minister, your Premier, have no excuse. Mr. Trump has no excuse. The Russian Prime Minister has no excuse. We can all see it. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth plants, each according to their own kind. God said, in the beginning was the Word. That's how you say things, isn't it? That's why he's called the Word. He spoke. You don't have the name Jesus there because he hadn't come to save his people from their sins yet. But he was the God who speaks. He is the Word. And he said, let the plants bring forth each according to their kind. Last IQ question. How on earth does this all tie together? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Would a God who never changes use millions of years of animals changing to reflect his nature? No. That's the argument the theistic evolutionists can't ever win. I mean, have you noticed how many churches now have homosexual pastors? Why? Because society has changed. We used to be opposed to it. Now we've evolved. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who is the Word, who made man, male and female, each according to their kind, and you are designed to represent what he is like. He made the plants, each according to their kind, and they are designed to represent his nature because he never changes. You know, the interesting thing is, he was opposed to homosexuality in the beginning. That's what he says in Matthew 9. Haven't you read, back in the beginning, God made them male and female? Therefore, a man will take a wife. Therefore, a man will not take a husband. Therefore, if a man lies with a man, by the time you get Leviticus, they will be stoned to death. Yeah, the wages of sin is death. What's sin? Sin is any time you step over a line that God the Creator has the absolute right to tell you what's wrong. Hey, not popular in Canada, not popular in Australia. How popular do you think I am with gays? Do you love them enough to tell them they're wrong? Because there's a real test of your love. If you don't, you don't love them at all. Jesus Christ never changes. So therefore he created plants, seaweed to turn into seaweed, roses to turn into roses, albeit judged by the degeneration of sin, so that they now have thorns, so that you can actually say, I don't want to stay here forever. In fact, the older I get, the more I appreciate that the gospel doesn't finish at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You know, I used to have hair up there. When I first met Larry, I had hair. And this wasn't Dairy Queen. This was muscles. And I was good looking. And now I've got a few aches and bones and joints that I didn't even feel 30 years ago. And the Bible says, not just that you'll have eternal life here and now, but I'm going to get a brand new body. And I'm going to be in a planet, a new heavens, a new earth, where there'll be no more thorns, no more thistles, no more shedding of tears, no more politicians, taxes, or death. Isn't that good news? Yeah, don't just stop at the eternal life bit. Go on to the eternity of new life with Jesus Christ, who never, ever used millions of years of evolution. And if you get a Christian who says, well, God could have used evolution, tell them, say, which God are you talking about? Because it's not the God from Genesis. It's not the God from John. It's not the God to Revelation. A neat summary for you. We mentioned it last night. Let's repeat it and add to it. Genesis 1 and 2, a good God made a good world. Genesis 3, we blew it. John 1 and John 2, a good God became a good man who never sinned. John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you see it? The devil knows if you get rid of Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you've demolished John 1, 2, and 3. You can't have one without the other. So you find theistic evolutionists, do whatever you can, demolish their foolishness. Nicely, of course. You might have to be a bit rough sometimes, but in reality, they need you to expose their fallacy of calling God a liar, and they'll be called to account for that. And they will think, I'm going to make it. And God says, no liars here. Why'd you call me a liar? You did that all your days, Mr. Theologian. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. I'll hand back to the pastor. I'll see you up the back. And we'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock, they told me. And we'll have a look at Noah's flood, the age of the earth. Let's pray.